opportunity again to let's turn this on, right? Speak in front of you all. It's red when it's supposed to. Green?
Green is on.
Oh, so it's been on this whole time. Okay. Okay. Well, good thing I wasn't talking crazy under my breath or anything like that. And again, I want to thank you all for the opportunity to speak in front of you again. Yeah, like my Uncle Wesley said, I caught a flat tire, not even 45 seconds from pulling out my driveway this morning. You know, the devil's always busy. The devil's always busy all the time. But so is my God. So is my God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come now bowing humbly before your throne, thanking you for blessing us all with the opportunity to wake up and to see this beautiful day. We're thankful for the opportunity, Lord, to be here in your house, another opportunity to sing praises to your name, Lord, and to worship your name and to learn more about your word. Father God, I ask that you bless me as the speaker this morning, Father, and that my words be clear and concise, Father, and that my message will be understandable and relatable, Father, and that someone here today can take a part of this message and keep it in their hearts, Father, and use it to fill themselves up so they can overflow into those individuals that they meet this week. Continue to be with us all now throughout the remainder of the service and always. These and all things we ask and pray in your Son's Christ's name. Amen. All right. So the title of my message this morning is That's My Fence. That's My Fence. And as we go through it, hopefully it'll make sense to you all. And I'm sure that it will by the end. Thank you, Tom, for reading the scripture this morning. So we're going to talk about a serious and a very personal issue, the lukewarm Christian. The lukewarm Christian. And we all know what lukewarm means. Imagine drinking coffee that's not hot and it's not cold. It's just room temperature. So it's unpleasant to the taste. So a lot of people like hot coffee. A lot of people like iced coffee. But this is just in between. Not pleasant at all. So Jesus uses the same imagery when speaking to the church in Laodicea. Again, for the benefit of the lesson, I'll read the first few verses. So to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus isn't speaking to non-believers or those people who are unchurched. One of the things we talked about the last time I was here was atheists and those who don't believe in God or don't believe in any type of a higher power. But he's speaking to Christians who have become complacent. People who thought they were doing fine, but Jesus saw their true condition. Wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. The same warning applies to us today. So I'm going to be speaking to 3 points specifically. What does it mean to be lukewarm? The dangers of being lukewarm, and how to move from lukewarm to on fire for God. Now, being lukewarm means having a faith that is either fully committed to God, that is neither fully committed to God, nor completely rejecting Him. Now, some signs of a lukewarm Christian: they only seek God when it's convenient. They pray in emergencies, but don't have a daily relationship with God. Those who compromise with the world, so instead of standing firm, they go along with sin to fit in. And those who are content but not growing, so those who don't hunger for God's word or desire to mature spiritually. Some modern examples of lukewarm Christianity are the Sunday-only Christian. They show up to church but don't live out their faith during the week. The blended-in Christian. They go to church, but they act like the world everywhere else they are. And the I'll get serious later Christian. And this one, I thought about this this morning, actually. So the tire that went flat, you know, I could see that it was, for work, I'm on the road a lot. So I could see that the tire was starting to lose its tread a little bit. And I was like, I'll get it when I get paid next week, or I'll get it when. But those who need to change, but they keep putting it off. And so I kept putting the tire off, and then we see what the result was. Thankfully, I wasn't, on the highway or somewhere where it wasn't safe. So a man went to his favorite coffee shop every morning. One day, he took a sip of his coffee and immediately spit it out. It was lukewarm. The barista said, "It sat out for too long." Many of us are like that coffee. We start off on fire for God, but we set out too long, losing our passion. The dangers of being lukewarm. It makes us spiritually blind. Lukewarm Christians think they are fine, but in verse 17 of Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, "You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." They don't even realize that they're in spiritual danger. It's something that leads to complacency. So instead of growing, a lukewarm Christian stays stagnant. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." A lukewarm Christian has no hunger for God's word, no urgency to share their faith, and no conviction to turn from sin. You know, I've noticed the signs out there that you all have hanging in the hallway. And I know they've been up there for a while. And unfortunately, I've missed the series of lessons that there was, but not a fan. I'm not a fan. So, of course, we all love sports. And we love different music artists. You know, we're fans. We're fans of those things. But being a Christian, it's more than just being about being a fan of Jesus. It's something that you have to be fully committed to every day of your life. If you put a frog in boiling water, it's going to jump out. But if you put it in lukewarm water and slowly heat it up, the frog will stay there until it dies. Lukewarm Christianity works the same way. We don't notice how far we've drifted away until it's too late. How to move from lukewarm to on fire for God. Jesus doesn't just rebuke the lukewarm. He calls them to repent. You have to renew your passion for the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Make prayer a daily habit. Read the Bible consistently. Surround yourself with strong believers. We also have to live boldly for Christ. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Be unashamed to share your faith." You have to remove spiritual distractions. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." So you have to ask yourself, what is it that's keeping me lukewarm? Is it sin? Is it distractions? Wrong priorities? You have to remove whatever pulls you away from God. In conclusion, I want to leave you with a story. There was a large group of people gathered. One on one side of the group stood with Jesus, and on the other side they stood with Satan. Separating them was a fence running through the group. With the scene set, both Jesus and Satan began calling to people in one group, calling people to each group, one by one, each having made up his or her own mind. They went to Jesus or to Satan. This kept going for some time. Soon enough, Jesus gathered around him a group of people from the larger crowd, as did Satan. One man did not join either group. He climbed the fence that was there, and he just sat on it. Jesus and his group left, and they disappeared. And also, Satan and his group, they left, and they disappeared. So the man sat on the fence alone. And as the man sat there, Satan came back, appearing to be looking for something. So he's looking around. The man said, "Have you lost something?" Satan looked straight at him and replied, "Oh, there you are. Come with me." The man said, "But I sat on the fence. I didn't choose you or Jesus." Satan said, "That's okay. That's my fence. I own that fence." So there's one decision that we should be careful not to be apathetic about. We can't sit on the fence when it comes to our faith. Faith takes commitment. Jesus has already offered us salvation. All we have to do is accept it. Then we can get off the fence and begin living fully committed to him. Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." If you are lukewarm, repent today. If you have not obeyed the gospel, then now is the time to be saved. Will you respond to Jesus today? So if you are lukewarm, the first step is to repent. But if you've not yet been saved, then you need to obey the gospel. The New Testament teaches us how to be saved. First, you must hear the gospel. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." We must first hear and understand the gospel. Next, you must believe the gospel and believe in Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Faith in Jesus is essential for salvation. Next, you must repent of your sins. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it says, "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." Repentance means turning away from sin and turning to God. Next, you must confess Christ as Lord. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved." Confessing shows Jesus our commitment to him. Next, you must be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, "Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Baptism is not optional. It is where we receive forgiveness and enter into Christ. And lastly, you must live faithfully. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." Following Jesus is a lifelong commitment. If there's anyone here who may feel that they've been living lukewarm, or anyone here who may not know Jesus, we're going to have in a few moments here an opportunity for you to come forward and for you to speak with one of the elders here and ask for prayer and ask for God's forgiveness and the things that you may need forgiveness and help with. If there's anyone who may feel the need for that, please do come forward to the front here as we stand and sing.